You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio, focusing on solutions and thinking different.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to Circle of White Light Radio with myself, Alan James. It's the 21st of February 2021. Good evening and hello to everybody logging into the chat room. Right, my guest on the show tonight is a chap I had on last July called Liam Deegan, and he's a journalist who we're going to have a chat with about everything that's going on in Ireland, and I'm sure we're going to be expanding on that and talking about various other subjects as well. But for now, let's find out what the communication channels are.
The communication channels are email, contact us at circleofwhitelight.com, by phone 046-927-1212, or sign up to our newsletter via our website at circleofwhitelight.com.
I'm sure you're fed up every week when we talk about the communication channels, but just for new listeners who are just tuning in for the first time, it's always good to go through them. I'm on PayPal. Circle of White Light is on PayPal. The PayPal is on the website at the bottom of the website. If you click on the logo, it's there. Also, I'm on Patreon, patreon.com/COWLR. And obviously, if you want to subscribe to the website and be notified of any things that are happening regarding guests coming on or donations that we make through the paid forward, just go off to the website and subscribe, and then obviously you'll get notified, you'll get emails coming out to you there, you'll know what's going on. Now also I have the t-shirts, the Circle of White t-shirts I said last week came in, and I have the limited supply, but I have them. So if you want a t-shirt, send us an email to contactus@circleofwhitelight.com, and then I'll send you the details of the cost of the t-shirt and the link where you can pay for them there. And they're very cheap. It's €10 plus post and packaging. That's all, very cheap. Depending on where you are, obviously, will depend on your post and packaging cost. Okay, so before we bring the guest in, as usual, I have a few things to touch base on, things that were in the news. And on a website called disabilityrights.org.uk, it said on their website, first face mask discrimination case nets £7,000. A disabled woman assisted by Kester Disability Rights has been paid £7,000 in compensation by a service provider who refused her access to a service because she was unable to wear a face mask. The payout was achieved through negotiation, as there was no dispute that access had been denied or that the claimant had a disability exemption. The only thing to be agreed was the amount of compensation, not whether it was due or not. Refusing access to people unable to wear face coverings due to disability is direct discrimination, no different to denying access to a black or gay person, for example. Disabled people are now routinely harassed in public for not wearing face coverings, frequently given the impression that confidential medical information must be publicly disclosed to justify exemption. The fact that shops and hospitality businesses routinely display no mask, no entry signs shows how deeply disablest attitudes are embedded in society. If premises displayed no blacks or no gays notices, there would be an outrage, of course there would. Fortunately, the official government position does not endorse any of these, as nobody exempt from wearing a mask is expected to go around justifying themselves. Saying I'm exempt is enough, and it is. It is the response to that can be proved to be discriminatory when compensation is due. Okay, so DublinLive.ie says on their article, Huawei couple who rescued freezing dog from mountain reported to Gardaí for breaching 5 kilometre rule. Now, I don't know whether this story is actually true. People are saying it is, but if it is true, how sad are the individuals who actually reported this couple? Here's the story. A member of the public reported the couple for breaching non-essential travel rules. A heroic couple who famously rescued a freezing dog from the top of a mountain have been reported to Gardaí for breaching the 5 kilometre limit. The couple, who both work as doctors, were reportedly staying in the Elbow Room Escape Lodge in Donard, County Wicklow, at the time of the rescue. The lodge had offered to offer mental health breaks to frontline workers on an Instagram page. But a member of the public reported the couple for breaching non-essential travel rules, and Gardaí are making inquiries into the lodge's operations. A Gardaí spokesman told Dublin Live, Gardaí in Wicklow are carrying out inquiries in relation to premises in the Donard area of Wicklow. The premises in question remain closed pending the outcome of the Gardaí investigation. The Health Act 1947, Section 31A, Temporary Restrictions, COVID-19, Number 10, Regulations 2020, as amended, are currently in force. In supporting the COVID-19 public health guidelines and regulations, Garda Síochána has and will continue to adapt a policing response based on its tradition of policing by consent. Again, policing by consent. This has seen Gardaí engage, educate, encourage and as a last resort, enforce. Well, you can't enforce something if people don't consent to it. You can only enforce something if people consent. So this is where the guards seem to not understand this principle, that consent creates the law and then they can apply the law. But if you don't consent, then the law doesn't apply. And who are the couple that are sad enough to go and do that when they went to, all they did was went to rescue a dog? I mean, how sad do you have to be as an individual to do something like that? I shake my head with these people that are out there. They really are unbelievable. Anyway, I'm sure we will be talking to Liam about that. Anyway, during the week, this is just my week, and something happened during the week. I mentioned a local supermarket who I'm emailing, trying to educate them to the fact that they are breaking the law. Well, I went down to the shop last Monday and they had no sign saying you must wear a mask or you will be removed from the store. So I said, OK, maybe they're getting the picture. So I did my weekly shopping later on during the week and the signs were not there. The one for we have a right to refuse was put to one side and the mask wearing one was gone. Now, I have heard subsequently that this shop is actually being sued by someone who was discriminated against and they were exempt. So maybe that's why, because they are being sued, the signs have come down. I'm not saying it was because of my email, but I did email the shop and I sent them a few emails and I sent them the law and I said, you can't do that. You can't put signs up saying no masks allowed. You know, if a blind person was going to go in with a guide dog, they just wouldn't have a sign up saying no animals allowed total. You'd say no animals allowed except for guide dogs. So what the shop should be saying is masks are mandatory unless you're exempt. That's what they should be saying, but they're not saying that. And again, it's the whole ignorance of the law and what has been pushed out on by the media. It's unreal. It's unreal. But, you know, we're going to be talking about that anyway. Right, so let's bring the guest in. Let's give you a bit of a background on his bio. Liam is an internationally recognised investigative journalist who writes for publications like the Irish Post, New York Post, Irish Central, as well as many other worldwide publications. Liam has been instrumental in exposing corruption at the highest political levels here in Ireland and helped bring about one of the biggest civil demonstrations in the history of the state, which was the anti-war the charges campaign. Liam has long been a thorn in the side of governments, political parties, the banking system and individuals who have been noted to have used corruption to further their business aims. Liam says that a great awakening has begun, but the establishment is fighting hard to keep their place at the top of the food chain. Good evening, Liam. How are you doing?
Evening, Al. How are you?
Not too bad at all. Would you believe the last time we spoke to each other was last July?
Jeez. Is that in person now or is that on the radio?
That was on the radio. I don't know. Have we talked since July? I don't know whether we talked.
Don't think so.
I mean, put it this way. It's a long time since we've met up and had a coffee. Put it that way.
Indeed. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's definitely since, obviously before last year, maybe.
Yeah.
The lockdown, of course, precluded us from doing anything, really.
Did we think? Now, last July, when we were talking to each other, I didn't envisage us being in this state in February, you know, these, you know, 7 or 8 months later in this situation. I mean, lockdown level 5. What's your take on it? How are you seeing it from your perspective?
Well, look, I think we have to go back to the beginning of all of this. Last December, Christmas, 2 years ago, my daughter got very, very sick with what we would call flu-like symptoms. But she had some of the unusual things like really, really bad headaches and things like that. And it wasn't going away. She had it for about 3 weeks over the Christmas period. And I got it because I was the only one who went into the room to give her food and her medicine and whatever went with it, you know. And I eventually picked up something, and I got these thumping headaches, and I got the kind of the dicky chest, as we call it, you know. So at that point, COVID was already here. And, you know, I mean, look, call it COVID, call it the flu, call it whatever you want. It doesn't really matter. It probably is the same result in the way it affects people. But the government have known that it's here since at least November, 2019.
Yeah, even before that, I'd say even September.
Well, possibly, yeah, possibly before that, because there were certain things happened that even I was looking back on, and I was kind of going, that's a bit unusual, the activity that they were undertaking. But the point was, they did nothing about it till March, and even then they did nothing. The biggest mistake they've made so far is leaving the country open. What they should have done is followed the New Zealand model. Close the country. We're an island. We can do it. Let cargo come in or whatever. You know, we obviously, the essentials come in. But close the country. Don't let anybody into the country at all from any of these countries outside of, look, you shouldn't let them in from anywhere. That's the bottom line. Because what they effectively done was they kept the ability of the so-called disease to continue. You know, we had Cheltenham and we had the Italians over here for the rugby. We had all of that sort of stuff. And even then, the airport wasn't even closed after that. So the mistake they made, and it's not a mistake, it was probably more to do with business interests and economic interests of others that has kept the airport open and kept the numbers coming through. And that's essentially what has us in this position we are today. You know, they balls it from the outset. They really made a balls it. And I mean, you've got very well known virologists now coming out, even today and yesterday, saying, guys, you should have shut the bloody shop. This you should never have let people back into the country. You should have, you know, I mean, tourists and people come visiting and all that sort of stuff should never have let it happen. And even today, it's still happening. I mean, there's a photograph in one of the English papers of a whole pile of caravans leaving Holyhead, coming back to Ireland, where we have lots of the travellers coming back in for their usual spring, summer sort of thing here. Mm. Hundreds upon hundreds of them. Now, where does the law apply to people like that? Where does the law apply to tourists who are still coming in? Because we still have flights to other countries. Mm. You know, I mean, when are the government actually going to say, look, 3 weeks of this, lock everything down, and we get rid of it? They're afraid to do it because of the business interests.
Well, we are assuming also that they have the interest of the population, that they're interested in actually helping the population. But to be honest with you, we all know that they are controlled and they're told what to do. And this could be all part of a master plan. I mean, logic and common sense does apply, and that makes sense to us, Liam, on air level. But to them, they obviously are told you have to do X, Y, and Z because we want to have X, Y, and Z, and you need to be able to keep the borders open. I mean, there's other countries now beginning to open up. And we know that, and the likes of Italy, a lot of businesses just opened up and the government said, right, we can't do anything. We can't police all of that. And the Irish government, and, you know, it does frustrate me to a certain extent that there is this kind of let's just say, when I lived in London, there was always this approach about the thick paddy or the stupid paddy, right? Working on the building sites, you know, and I was like, I was a defender of that attitude because I thought, no, you know, I disagree with that, you know, and I would defend that. And it wasn't until I kind of came back from London and I started kind of, you know, meeting people and everything else. And then I seen it for myself. And unfortunately, it's not just about that. I mean, in other countries, they have their fair share of people as well. I'm not just talking about Ireland. But, you know, I mean, you live in a country and you see people driving their car with a mask on and they're on their own. That's as good as having the condom on in bed on your own. It's pointless. You know, and then there's people walking out on their own. They're going for a walk and they're on their own on a country road and they have a mask on. You know, I mean, you want to shake them and go, what is wrong with you? It's just, you know, it's frustrating on that level because it's just so annoying. Now, I know going into the shops and all that kind of stuff and there's people that, you know, these days they have it on because they know there's a law, there's a fine. And that's probably why they have it on. Otherwise, they'd have it off. They wouldn't have the mask on. But Irish government, were other countries opening up, this plan is not going to work unless all countries shut down all at the same time, and they're not. So it's flawed. Their system is flawed, and even the likes of some of the vaccine companies, I think it's AstraZeneca, turned around and said, I read out, or it was Merck, one of them, turned around and said, they're stopping the vaccine. And they're saying, actually, it's better if you get it because, you know, that would be a better solution because your body will, you know, it will heal itself anyway. You have an immune system. So even the vaccine companies are saying that, oh, no, we're not doing it anymore. There's other countries that are suing the UK. I think it's AstraZeneca. There's a couple of countries actually now putting in legal cases against the vaccine. And obviously the amplification of the PCR test, again, the World Health Organization, which I don't like anyway, and Fauci, Bill Gates' best mate, are saying that the amplification should be only 30, and yet the Irish government's doing 40 to 45, and of course they're catching everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, Kamal, if I can just run you back a little bit there in terms of, you know, you were talking about people wearing masks in their cars on their own and, you know, on country roads and this sort of thing. You see, the real problem here is the media. The Irish media are bought and paid for. I've said it for years. I've said it in previous interviews with you. They're bought and paid for. The currently, without government intervention in terms of paying them for putting out COVID information, most of them will be gone to the wall at this stage financially. They're just not making the money. It's not there for them. So they're really dependent on, you know, the payments from government for COVID. But they're also depending on advertising and all this sort of stuff. And also, of course, you have to remember that most media outlets are just really mouthpieces for the government at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, journalists, as I call them, churnalists, they just take press releases from each government department and they just rehash it in slightly fewer words or more journalistic words, more newspaper worthy words, and that's it. That's all they do. There's no real news stories coming out, but what they're doing is they are creating an arena of fear for people. People are so wound up about what the media is telling them about COVID. It's creating huge fear amongst the older people. I've seen it myself. Younger people, I've seen it myself. Ordinary people who I would have thought would have had a bit of common sense. It all seems to go out the window. But everyone has said, well, but the newspaper said it, or the news said it, or it was on the radio, you know, we must do this, we must do A, B, and C. And this is really the problem. This is really getting to the nub of what people believe and don't believe and what's turning people against each other where, you know, they would normally not do so. So in other words, you're into two. What they've done is effectively split people into two camps. People into the two camps of, you know, COVID believers, COVID non-believers, vaccinators and non-vaccinators. This is what they've done, in essence. And that's part of the overall plan, I would have thought, which I think is what you're referring to earlier. So, you know, this is the sort of thing that people need to research themselves.
They're
relying on the media. Relying on the media, or even relying on social media or Facebook, still isn't the way to go either. It really takes, you know, it takes the effort to sit down and research stuff yourself. When you research it, well, then you can make it an informed decision as to what you believe and what you will do about everything, you know. And I, in terms of vaccines, Al, I'm just going to be very straight. I'm not going to take one. I'm not going to get one. I'm a healthy guy. I'm fit. I don't have any underlying conditions as such. I don't want it. To me, it's actually gene therapy. It's the wrong word is to call it vaccine. Mm. I shouldn't call it vaccine. It's not a vaccine. It changes people's DNA to some extent, and it's been acknowledged by the pharmaceuticals that that is the case. So I don't see why. Now, this is me personally. Anybody else, you know, I'm not telling anybody else not to take it. It depends on your own level of research, your own comfort level, all that sort of thing. But in my case, I won't be taking it. I don't believe in it. I don't believe what I'm being told. I've done enough research into it to make me, let me put it this way, if I have a 5% doubt, my journalistic nose tells me there's an issue. And I've more than a 5% doubt in terms of the so-called vaccine. So no, I won't be taking it. I'm not anti-vax, by the way. I've often taken vaccines for my previous careers and things like that. I've had to take many vaccines. And I've no issue with them, but I do have an issue with this. There's something not quite right with this. It's certainly not quite right in the way it's being pushed.
Yeah, and the speed and the development in which they've done the vaccine, as you say, we have to stop calling it a vaccine because it's not a vaccine, it's gene therapy, mRNA, and it's fundamentally going to change your DNA. And even Professor Dolores Cal said, give it a few months, if not a few years, and you'll see that this kicking in and affecting people. And for, like you, Liam, I've no interest in taking it. Number one, the question I say to people, first and foremost, is, do you trust your government, yes or no? I normally say, I just want the yes or no answer, that's all. No ifs, buts, whatever, yes or no. And everybody I've asked that question to, they all said no. And I said, then why do you think they're telling you the truth now if you don't trust them? Why do you think they're telling you the truth? Too many people have either died or had side effects. And as you say, I'm a healthy guy. Why would I want to take something if I'm feeling quite healthy? You know, I mean, I don't go and take a Panadol just in case I might get a headache.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so why would I take a vaccine just in case I might get something that is kind of has a 99.6% success rate of your immune system healing it? And I think in December of 2019, anyway, I did have a flu. And and it was pretty bad. I was laid up for 2 days, but I got over it, and that was it. Now that could have been that strain of that flu. I mean, that could have been COVID for all I know. But you know, the vaccine definitely. Now, obviously, they know that we have a constitution, and they know that they can't be forcing mandatory vaccines on people because they can't. They just can't do that. So the way they'll obviously be looking at trying to do it, or at least they will try and get 80% of the population vaccinated. They will look at the population, and they'll probably look and see, right, we are all the media and information we're pushing out there. We've convinced 70 or 80% of the population that, you know, the vaccine's good. So if we can just get them 70 or 80% vaccinated, then their job's done. I think they know there's no way they're going to get 100%. But if they can get 70 or 80, which is part of the depopulation program Bill Gates is talking about, so then I think they would have hit their target.
Mm. Well, I think one of the things we're going to have to look at, it is going to be bought in, I've no doubt, if there's not enough people prepared to take the vaccine. And there will be lots of people who aren't prepared to take the vaccine. For instance, there's a lot of, I was reading today in one of the American military magazines that there's a lot of soldiers, sailors and airmen in the States are refusing to take it. They won't take it. They said, we're not taking it. And like, we're running into the thousands upon thousands of people, soldiers, who said, we're not doing it. We don't need it.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. But I think one of the issues I think that's going to face people, if the compliance rate isn't high enough, what they will do is they will restrict travel movements. Instead of bringing the new laws, what they'll do is they'll just restrict your travel movements without a passport. They'll restrict your ability to collect, if you're on social welfare, to collect social welfare. A bit like the public services card thing, you know, you must have it. It's mandatory, but not obligatory sort of thing. But
yeah.
You must have it before you can get paid your social welfare payments every week. You know, for mothers maybe who are collecting children's allowance, for instance, well, you can't until you have a passport. This is how they're going to do it, if they're going to do it. And I would have a strong feeling that this is what they are going to do. In other words, if you don't have documents that allow you to travel or to collect your dole or whatever it might be,
yeah,
you're going to have to comply, aren't you, at the end of the day? It is like the public services card. I mean, those who are on social welfare, job seekers or whatever it might be, cannot collect the payment normally without producing your card.
And do you think that they will purposely target them people because they're easier to target?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, they always target you. They always target that. I'm not saying that class of people is not the right word here, but the people who are in that situation, they'll always target because they know they could be forced to do this. Otherwise, they won't get payments. They won't be able to go on public transport. They won't be able to do whatever they do without showing your card. It's like it'll be like an identity card, I suppose, for all intents and purposes. And everybody will get one. Anybody who's been vaccinated will more or less, I'd say, will get one in time. And those who haven't got one, well, then you're going to be, well, you're going to be on permanent lockdown or starve to death. Take your pick. But this is what they will do. And, you know, it's very reminiscent of Nazi Germany back in 1938,
yeah,
39.
Well,
it's gone to that sort of, to that level where it was not necessary. And there's lots of very eminent medical people saying this was never necessary here.
Exactly.
All you had to do was close for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And that was job done. And stop people traveling in from these countries. You mean there's still people coming in from the UK. And you know, as I said earlier, there's still flights in the UK. There's still ferries from the UK and from France and whatever. But of course, during the week we had, or well, in the last couple of weeks, we had 5,000 Brazilians brought into the country from a country that's apparently rampant with COVID. They brought in 5,000 Brazilians to work in meat factories.
Mm.
Most of the meat factories, of course, belong to Larry Goodman,
yeah,
father-in-law of Simon Coveney.
Mm. Yeah, it's amazing how blatant and in your face they do it. And they just know that people will, you know, you're not going to do anything. You're fluoridated and you just, you'll shout and scream a bit and then that's it. You will just accept it. I mean, the plans that they have and whether they get away with it is another thing. Because speaking from, you know, people that I speak to, their plans of world domination and depopulation, that's their plans, but we know that the head of the snake has been cut off and that they are just, this is something that has to be done. They know they've lost. I think they know they've lost on a higher level. There's a lot going on, but all this has to be played out anyway because they only have one plan.
You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio.
Hi, folks. Right, we're back. We don't know what happened there. We just, myself and Liam were just talking to each other and all of a sudden the line went dead. Very, very strange there. But Liam, you're back.
I'm back, Al.
We're back. Yeah.
But it's only better, I'd say, something spooky happened.
It's spooky. The spooks are on the line, obviously, and listening in, obviously. We were talking about the higher purpose, and I was saying about they have one plan. And the government, all these government people are all followers, and they're followers of a plan, but that plan is now defunct. But because they only have one plan, they're following it anyway, regardless. Now, on a higher level, there's a lot of stuff going on in a positive way. There's a lot of changes taking place. But all this stuff has to be done and played out, as far as I'm concerned, for everybody to see it. And once everybody sees it, and then, because that's when we reach critical mass and change is inevitable. So I do think that we need to hit that critical mass. And we're all kind of getting impatient, because when everybody is awake and knows what's going on, like everybody tuned into this show is awake and aware, they know what's going on, and it's frustrating because we just want to get on with it. But for people who are still awake and don't know what's going on, and they're the mask wearers who are taking the vaccine and all that kind of stuff, there's some of them that still need to be awake. I know we won't get everybody, but there's some people that still need to be awake. And so they'll follow their plan, their defunct government plan that they're told by their masters in Europe. And of course, we have to just grin and bear it until the changes start flowing down from the top.
Mm. Well, it's much bigger than Europe, really, at the end of the day. I mean, it's, you know, I suppose if we get to the nub of it, it's actually spiritual warfare going on, essentially. You know, I mean, it's beyond humanity at this point, what's happening. The battle is really happening elsewhere. We're just pawns in the game at this stage, as are many of the people who you would probably see as the enemy in human terms. But, you know, they're being controlled by one entity, and while you know, anybody else who's aware or awake, if you want to call it that, are being controlled by another one, in essence. You know what I mean? But I think the thing to kind of look at is, who is the enemy here? You know, who, if you look at it deeply, well, who wants all this to happen? Is it on a spiritual level? Who is it? Who's doing it? Mm. You know, who are the forces? What are the forces? You know, people claim that it's Satanists doing all this sort of thing. But, you know, I'd see the church, for instance, as a satanic setup. Not a satanic setup. I'd see them as something greater and far more insidious than a satanic setup. So maybe there's a couple of different parties at war here, spiritually speaking, and they're all fighting for whatever. And this is where the confusion, I think, reigns with people as to, well, who are the good guys and who are the bad guys?
Mm.
Who are really the good guys and who are really the bad guys? Because if you think about it for thousands of years, 2,000 years maybe, everybody thought the church was the good guy. Mm-hmm. Is the church the good guy? You know, is the Roman Catholic Church, is religion the good guy? You know, I mean, spiritual people haven't really started wars. Religions have started wars.
Of course. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean,
they're the bigger proponents of warfare than anybody else. Like, and more wars throughout the course of history have been started for religious reasons rather than any other reason.
How many people have been killed in the name of religion, and they say, love thy neighbour?
We're into billions, aren't we, really, at the end of the day? You know, if you think about this, they burnt witches and they went after women mainly, of course, in medieval times, and even us a couple of years ago, they went after women who they claimed were witches. But it was religious people who went after the witches.
Mm.
Why would they do that? What were they trying to protect? What did they believe in? What did they think that women were doing? Like, these are. I mean, I read a fantastic story of a woman who was a witch, and she was, well, this is, I suppose this is about 300 or 400 years ago, and she was burnt at the stake for being a witch. And yet, they never had any proof that this woman was a witch, other than the fact that she had a black cat.
Well, the
it was religion. It was religion that burned that woman at the stake for the fact that she had a black cat.
What I heard about the reason why they burned the witches is because these were women that could see through the BS that was going on. They were tuned in to the energies.
Absolutely correct.
And that was the whole idea of Born the Witch, because they had these, they were mediums at the time. Let's call them what they were. Probably mediums.
And psychics and whatever else to go with it. Yeah, absolutely.
And
that's exactly what they were.
Yeah. And so they said, right, okay, these people are seeing through the matrix and what's going on, their game plan. So we'll burn them as witches and we'll call them. And I mean, literally, as you say, all you had to have is a black cat and then that's it. You're being burned at the stake.
Yeah, but the thing is, they kept associating all of this with Satan, Lucifer, Beelzebub, call it what you want. And they kept saying, well, you know, they're evil. These people are evil. But essentially, we've got a modern version of that at the moment, where the only thing is people aren't being burnt at the stake, but they're being vilified for their beliefs.
Yeah.
You know, people are being hounded for their beliefs. But it's religious people who are doing the hounding. So it hasn't stopped. It actually hasn't stopped. This whole thing about going after people who are different in society, who have different values, not necessarily bad values or evil values or anything like that, but just people like you and me who would be very ordinary people who stand up. And we say, well, we don't like what we see, and bang, you're a target.
Yeah,
you see that with the likes. You know, you can see that with the likes of what's going on now with Ben Gilroy and all these people. As soon as you open your mouth, you know, you're just they find a way of jailing you. It's the equivalent of burning you at the stake, essentially. They're killing you. You know, they make you a target, a marked man or woman in this case. You know, so yeah, look, this still goes on essentially, but you know, I have absolutely no time for religion, for what they've done throughout the course of history, and essentially, well, if you look at it now, actually, the church has never been as quiet as it has been. It's not saying anything about anything. It's not raising its head above the parapet. So what's it doing? Is it hiding, so you know they won't be asked to do something or comment on something or whatever it might be, or what is it? Well, what are they doing? They're not standing up for anybody. I mean, people have stood up for them for 2,000 years and given their lives. The church is standing up for nobody at the moment.
And that's what I think that was the case in World War II as well. You got factions and you have certain priests who will stand up and say something. Yeah. I've seen that myself, but they're just individuals feeling that something needs to be said, especially with the churches being shut and people not being able to go on into the church. But as you say, it is very quiet with the church. And, you know, all roads lead to Rome. I mean, we know how sinister the Catholic Church is, and it's one of the biggest cults on the planet. And that's just my opinion based on the research that I've done.
I entirely agree with you.
And they have their fingers in every pie, and they're controlling a lot of things. And even all the issues that went on years ago in Ireland with the tomb babies and stuff like that, you can guarantee, I mean, the churches were involved with selling babies and all that kind of stuff. It's just unbelievable how people still go to church and follow this cult that has destroyed people's lives and nations and cultures, and yet they still go to church and they don't see it. Maybe obviously they don't want to see it, because my argument has always been the same. Look, there's a separation between spirituality and religion. Religion, in my opinion and based on my research, is, you know, is man-made, and it was, you know, set up to divide and conquer. That's why we have all these religions.
It's a control issue, it's a control thing.
Yeah. And where spiritualism is really about yourself and your own journey within yourself and learning about your own spirituality, not control. It was the bringing in the priest where he takes you away from God, where when you want to confess, you have to go into the confessional and you have to speak to him, and then he speaks to God. No, you can do it yourself. You don't need this man to do it, this priest to do it. You can do it yourself. And this is the whole idea. They took the power away from the people, saying, you're not worthy to actually speak to Source or God. We have to do it for you.
Well, they've always been the intercessories throughout history. Like, in other words, that only they could speak to God.
Yeah.
But then, if you step it up a gear, well, then who's God? Mm. Everybody, there's thousands of different gods.
Of course, there is.
So pick one. Which one are they talking to that the Muslim community are talking to, or the Buddhist community are talking to, or the Hindu communities are talking to? They have their gods too.
Yeah.
It's you know, essentially, look, my view is really simple. I don't deny anybody their religion or their faith or anything like that. I'd never do that. That's personal. But when it comes to what the church have done, for instance, or what religion has done to mankind in general, it should be abolished without a shadow of a doubt, because it's a control issue. They want control of your mind, your body, and your soul, in essence. And as you say, when you're a spiritual type of person, all of this looks like bullshit.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
it looks totally like bullshit. You know, I've gone further and further away from all that sort of stuff, and gone deeper and deeper into the spiritual side of things. And you know, I mean, I get it, and I've no problem with people believing in whatever they want to believe. At the end of the day, the journey is going to be the same. The result is going to be the same. We're not getting off the planet alive. However we choose to be on the far side, or whatever we are on the far side, we're all going to be the same at the end of the day. There's going to be no difference between you, me, someone who believes in a Hindu god or a Buddhist god or anything like that. I mean, there's no difference whatsoever. So, but it's about the individual journey and what you're going to take back with the experience of being here and what you might have learned along the way as well. Mm. You know?
Yeah. And what's your take on the whole, we talked about earlier about the divide between them and us, basically the mask wearers taking the vaccine and staying in the matrix. And of course, we are outside. We don't want the vaccine. We don't wear the masks. And we are outside the matrix, looking at what's going on. Now, there's a lot of talk, obviously people that I've interviewed as well, QHHT people and stuff, and you talk about this polarization of the frequencies, and that this is going to pop somewhere down the line, and there's going to be a divide of separation going to go on. Now, Dolores Cannon talked about it as well. For years she talked about it. So have you looked into that? And if you have, what's your take on it?
Well, I think everybody is saying the same sort of thing. Anybody who's noticing it anyway, about the energy for a start. The energy is totally different these days. Mm. It's not just the energy of the lockdown or you know, or whatever it might be, but there's a different feel to what's happening at the moment. In terms of number one, of course, people's awakening, and you know, if you look on Facebook as an example, I've never seen so many people talking about energy, frequencies, changes in them, changes in those around them. Even, I mean, I don't know about you, for instance, but I notice the days are just flying in. The weeks are just jumping across the line into each other. You know, one Friday is just merging into the next. So there is something happening.
I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that, Liam. And let's just talk about that for a minute, because I said that last week to everybody, the listeners. I said, is it just me, or are the days just flying in? I feel like I do the radio show, and then 2 days later, I'm doing another radio show, and I'm thinking, hang on a minute, it's supposed to be a week, and we are in. And the funny thing is we're in lockdown, so we can't do anything because we're in lockdown. We can't go anywhere, so technically that should be. The week should be dragging in each week, but it's not. It's speeding up. On the 19th of 2 days ago, on the 19th of Feb, the Schumann frequency was off the charts. There was a whiteout on the Schumann frequency, and I'm a big fan of looking at that to see what's going on. And I'm sensitive enough to pick it up and pick something up that things are going on, and I did. And So there's something definitely going on with the frequencies hitting the planet and the energies coming in, the Schumann frequency. Part of the Schumann frequency has been the highest it's ever been. It's never been at the frequencies it's been at before. So something is definitely going on.
Well, there's a vibrational lift in the energies from people. But I think the more people that become aware of what's going on around them, I think the energies will increase and they'll get stronger and stronger and stronger. What the end result will be, we don't know. That's the reality of it. But something is going to happen. Something's going to give. Whether it's the case of more positive energies overtaking, we call it the negative energies, and eventually taking them out of it, destroying them, call it what you want, and then maybe we'll move on in a spiritual sense. Maybe not so much in a human sense or a physical sense, but I think in a spiritual sense there'll be a lot more awareness and learning as we move on. But there's definitely something happening. I'm not quite sure what it is, but even I feel it. And a lot of people I've been talking to lately have all said, whoa, the days are just rolling into one another. Time is moving fast. I feel different. I feel more tired. I feel less energetic, whatever it might be. So whatever's in the energies is also draining us.
Yeah.
For now. But, you know, I mean, sometimes I feel drained and I kind of go, well, there's no explanation for this. Well, I've had a good night's sleep. I'm not tired.
Exactly. Don't they call it the ascension symptoms, though? I mean, this
is essentially, that's exactly what it might be. You know, look, we could be moving into the next dimension because we're spiritually ready, or some of us are spiritually ready to move on up to the next level. I'm not going to say everybody's going to do it. Maybe it might be a case of people being left behind on the planet or be taken off the planet, and those of us who are a bit more aware about things and bit more evolved in that respect are going to stay on the planet. It's we don't know, really. You know, that's my take on it, but I don't know.
Yeah,
we're surmising it now at this point. Like, that's going to be one of those scenarios is going to be the right one.
Well, what you're saying, it matches to what guests that have come on my show have said that. You know, there was always this belief, well, all the guests that I've interviewed, that there's the amount of people that are in tune and are part of this change or ascension is about 15%. Although there's one or two people that have said, no, it's about 5%. Now, if you walk around the supermarkets and stuff like that and you see these people, or you see people in general with all the masks on, you know, then you get an idea that now you can understand why we feel it's such a small percentage. So let's say, for argument's sake, it's 15% of the planet. Now, we do know there's people who are background people that are part of the program that will never change because they're just part of the program. And there's other people that might wake up and other people that will never wake up. It's just, it's not their time. Now, one of the things I was kind of asking about was, well, what's going to happen to the people that aren't going to wake up with all these frequencies coming in? Well, they won't be able to handle the frequencies, so they're choosing to move on. And that could be death or suicide or whatever their soul contract, or if you want to call it that. But they're choosing to move on. They've done their time. They've done what they needed to do, and now it's time they're moving on. So the whole idea of the population changing, along with what's gone on in Washington with Trump and the military. Now, again, you know, I can only speculate because I'm not there. I don't know. It's what I'm told as well with Intel. But if everything is going on what we're being told, then March 4th and 5th is a date that I'm going to be looking at with interest to see what happens. Because you heard about it, Liam, what's going on regarding Trump and the military taking over and Biden's fake inauguration and all that stuff. Have you looked into that at all?
Yeah, well, I haven't, if you know what I mean. I haven't had the proper time to sit down and research that sort of stuff at the moment. But, you know, I've seen posts on Facebook, I've seen posts on Twitter, I've seen all that sort of stuff. And I am of the opinion that Trump is not finished by any means.
Yeah.
Trump, I really believe that he's going to make a move somewhere along the line, somehow. And I think he will be backed up by by forces, whether it's military or whatever, we don't quite know. But he is going to make a move, and he will probably look to reassert his power again. Biden is a puppet at the end of the day. That's all Biden is. He's not, you know, I mean, God bless him, but the poor man is just, you know, I mean, he's suffering terribly from dementia, Alzheimer's, whatever it might be. They haven't said what it is yet. Yeah. But he's a puppet president right now. If he, in much the same way as Obama was, and you know, the Bushes and all these guys, they're all puppet presidents. So somebody on a higher level than them again is calls the shots there. But Trump, I think, but you know, look, I don't know. Trump, he's a bit of an enigma, really. At the end of the day, he has some admirable things about him, but he has equally as many disadmirable things about him in the way he carries on and things like that. But he's the first American president in a very, very, very long time to actually pull it up to the establishment.
Mm.
And there is an establishment, of course, in the States. Like every country has an establishment. In the States, they have a very warlike establishment. And again, that's more likely run by Masons and whatever, you know, all those other people. They really call the shots there at the end of the day. So most American presidents have been Masons, so they'll do what they're told. Trump didn't fit that bill. Trump was the first American president to I suppose, attempt to drain the swamp. And that's why they went after him, of course.
Mm.
Because he was the first president to actually say, well, no, things are going to change here. I know what's going on. You know, I'm not a mad admirer of the guy, but there's some things he does and some things he did do, and I kind of thought, well, actually, fair play to you. Because other presidents would never have done it. Would never in a million years. They just toe the line. Trump was different in this case. Now, whether he is the Antichrist or whatever it might be, who knows?
Well, we have to be careful of the Savior program, because everybody is part of this change. It's not just one person. We can't sit back and wait and say, oh, well, Trump's going to take care of it because we'll all sit back. And I agree with you. I'm not a Trump fan, but and I know he has alternative agendas if he's allowed to do them, but he's been told that he has to play it straight and do what he's told to do and do his job that he was put on this planet to do. And yeah. And that's, you know, and again, like you, he does a few things that he did. And I thought, well, okay, 126 executive orders that actually helped the people. That was very interesting. He was the first president in a long time that didn't go to war. There was no wars when he was in.
You see, I think if anything, that's going to be his legacy, is the fact that he's the first president never go to war like that. First modern president never to go to war. That says something for the man.
Mm.
It really does. I mean, if he was what they were trying to make him out to be, he would have troops invading all over the world. He'd have troops doing the thing in other countries other than the usual Iraq and things like that. What he would have done, Al, is he would have gone straight into Iran. He would have gone bang. End of story. Because, you know, effectively, Iran is still seen, it appears to be the enemy. But we know the reason why the enemy in the Middle East, obviously because of the Israeli situation and their connections to the deep state in America. Like, that's why Iran is the big bad boy. But the real elephant in the room is actually China.
Yeah.
It's not even Russia. It's no other country except China. Mm. China is going to be the issue for American time to come. China will challenge America. They'll even challenge Russia.
Actually, China is trying to do the takeover globally. And this is what we've been told, because the Federal Reserve contract was 400 years to 2012. And after that, China was supposed to take over for another 100 years. And that didn't happen. But now what China are trying to do is to come in, and it's what they're doing. I mean, even Trudeau, there was apparently a Chinese waiting to come in to Canada. I think there was ships or something that were offshore, and that was all stopped. But they're trying to do a global takeover. This is why we're having this communism. This is why there's talk about this global communism. That's what they want, you know. And this is why even Ireland is speaking, the Chinese, the CCP are speaking to the Irish government. That was in the newspapers there a while ago. They were coming in looking to invest in property and stuff like that.
They're here on a major scale. They have huge investments here. People just aren't aware of their investments. Like, I mean, they have a huge amount of money invested in property, as you already said. You know, the biggest influx of millionaires are Chinese, who've all paid a couple of million to become Irish citizens.
Yeah.
They've invested in Irish companies. Well, not so much Irish companies, but just companies. And, you know, and they're given the freedom, the big pass at the border to come in.
Mm.
And that's, you know, they haven't done that in any other country. There's no other country really that allows them to do that, to buy their passport as such. Ireland has done that since, I think, could it be pre-Charlie Haughey days, or at least Albert Rennell days, I think, where they've sold passports to anybody who's got a couple of million in the back pocket.
Yeah.
And this is what they've been doing. So we have the highest percentage, as far as I'm aware, of Chinese entrepreneurs in any country in Europe are domiciled here in terms of their passports. So in essence, what they're bringing with them is, well, obviously, their entrepreneurship skills, which I've no doubt they are, but they're also coming from a communist background.
Mm.
You can't become successful in China without being a reasonably high-level marker in the communist party.
Mm.
They won't allow it to happen. You know, there's no such thing as a rich non-communist in China. It's not the way it works.
Of course. And, you know, I know it's great when you say, like, it's great having a local Chinese, but I'm referring to a takeaway and not an underground base because there's obviously talk about them having underground bases in certain places as well. It's again, it's not the Chinese people, but it's the CCP. We have to kind of...
The CCP, yeah. I know some Chinese people. I know them quite well, and they're good people. They don't have any agendas, you know. They're just decent people.
Yeah, they are.
I'll be sure of that. Well, one of the things, actually, if you, I'm sure you've heard about it, is that there was talk of, very, very wealthy Chinese businessmen looking to leave Hong Kong and set up a new city just north of Drogheda. I don't know if you'd read that, had you?
No.
Yeah. It's you can Google it. You'll see it for yourself. There was plans put forward by these particular people to build a new city for those who want to leave Hong Kong. And the idea was that they'd build a city somewhere north of Drogheda. Apparently, they'd looked around a couple of places in Ireland and somewhere between Dundalk and Drogheda was seemed to be the most suitable place to build a city. But anybody who was going to come here, of course, had to come with money.
Yeah,
you weren't come here without money, needless to say. They weren't going to look for the street trade or things like that. You were going to have to come with money.
Yeah.
You would have to pay for your accommodation quite handsomely, I've no doubt, you know. But it's something, if people aren't aware of it, something to Google. Interesting story, probably an April Fool's joke, really, from last year, but maybe not. We don't know. But interesting nonetheless.
Yeah, I like Liam's comment on the chat here. Well done, Liam. He said, in America, they are draining the swamp. In Ireland, we're going to be draining the bog. So that's a fair play to Liam. I like that comment. Right, let's go off to the questions that the listeners have. Right, first question is from Liam, and he says, Alan, will you please mention the Sovereign Independent article that Trevor found in his attic with the headline saying depopulation through vaccine, 2011 edition? I will, Liam. I'll give that a quick mention. Basically, for people that are not aware, there was a newspaper ahead of its time in the early days of 2010, 2011, 2012 called The Sovereign Independent. Yeah. And on my Facebook page, I did post up pictures of the actual newspaper. I have a couple of versions here with me. I found them the other day and I posted up a picture. But the one that Trevor had, I didn't have. So I got Trevor to take a photo of it. And then I took a copy of that and put it up on my Facebook. And it says the depopulation agenda. And that was in 2011. So that newspaper was ahead of its time. And we were OAM, myself and Steve were around at that time. And we were involved with the Sovereign Indo guys. And I believe if you in a few versions of the Sovereign Independent, you'll see the OAM logo in there. And we were involved and they were exposing a lot of this stuff in 2011, which is now happening.
Yeah, well, look, they've known for years this is going to happen. What's the best way to I suppose, depopulate a world, create a situation, create the problem and then create the solution.
Reaction, solution. Yeah.
That's what they've done. Yeah, exactly. That's what they've done. They've given us we have the problem, introduced more than likely by them, and then they give us the solution of vaccines. And that's been on the cards for a long, long, long time. That's to them, that was always going to be the way to, without starting nuclear wars and stuff like that, without the expense of all of that, the easiest way to, and I don't know if they look at things in a humane way, but probably one of the more humane ways is to kill people through vaccines. I'm not sure that's how they think, but it makes a bit of sense.
I think you're right. I mean, they want to experiment, and that's what it is. This is an experiment, a joint global experiment regarding the vaccines. But to be honest with you, I don't think they're going to get... I feel in my waters, so to speak, that they will not get their plan put in place regarding global vaccines to everybody. I just don't see it happening. Too many people are waking up now on a daily basis, and there's more and more doctors, more and more media people coming out, more and more people are beginning to come out and question it. People that we knew were inside the matrix are now outside saying, hang on a minute, there's too many people now saying, hang on a minute, this has gone too far. And more, and as more and more things get exposed and people can see it, because we have social media, and I know social media is not great, and you have to research some stuff. Don't just believe the meme.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't just believe a meme. You have to go and do the research and check it out, because I've been caught out with that before. And check out the meme. But I just believe that with Telegraph and MeWe and Facebook and loads of other social media platforms, there's so much information that's coming forward now, and people are now sending it to everybody else, that I'll just get, I just think it'll just be, but through that critical mass again that we'll reach, we'll say, okay, that's it, no more. But I tell you what I will say about that, Liam, and I don't know how you feel about it, you can tell me. All the politicians who are, it's on their watch at the moment, what's going on, all of them have to be held accountable. None of this, and I'm talking about Nuremberg trials. I'm not talking about, I was just obeying orders. None of that BS. It's your watch. You can speak up. You have a mouth. And if you don't speak up, you can walk away. If you don't want to speak up, walk away from your job, but make it obvious why you're doing it. But they need to be all held accountable. I feel anyway.
Well, two things for us. I'll just hark back to something for a second. One of the questions I will always have, and whether I get to research or not, I don't know, is who's paying for all this stuff? Who's paying for it? Who's financing the cost of vaccines? Who's paying for it? Who's paying for all the COVID payments? Who's paying for all the PUP payments? Who's paying for all of this? It's a question that nobody seems to be able to answer. The Department of Finance won't answer it, of course. The Department of Health won't answer it. Nobody's answering the question. Who's paying for it? So that's something for down the line. It's something to look at. Maybe, as I say, research it as we go. But right now, there's nobody answering that question. In terms of the politicians, well, look, the politicians should be the very first people to get the vaccines. I'm not aware of any of them haven't got it yet. We saw some of the photos of American politicians and Canadian politicians, Australian politicians. supposedly getting the vaccine at the time, and there's no bloody needle on the syringe, like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is laughable. So it really is laughable. The least you can do is put some water in a real syringe with a real needle and inject that, and then, you know, there might be a bit of believability. But I think in terms of our own politicians, we need to see every one of them being lined up, videoed, and taking the vaccine. They're the ones that are pushing it. They're the ones that are making the laws. They're the ones that are agreeing to laws in terms of COVID restrictions and things like that. So, you know, right, lads, if you believe in it, take it first, and then walk around without a mask. You won't need a mask if you've taken the vaccine. You're not going to catch it.
Well, here,
so those of us who would refuse to take it, the vaccine, and maybe even refuse to wear a mask, you're not going to affect anybody then. You're never going to affect anybody if you're immunized.
Well, here's the what's being said, right? So even though you get the vaccine, you still have to wear the mask because there's a chance of you spreading it. So you still have to wear the mask even though you have the vaccine. Yeah. So put it this way. If you were to take a contraceptive, but there's a chance of you still getting pregnant, would you take the contraceptive? What's the point if there's still a chance of you getting...
Would you take a chance on the contraceptive working when it's not sure? They're not even... Like, the company who makes it aren't sure that the contraceptive is safe or will it work.
So you still...
Of course you're not going to...
Yeah. So you still have to wear a condom because even though you're taking a contraceptive, there's no guarantee it's going to work. So he said, so what's the point in taking a contraceptive if there's no chance, you know? It's madness. And this is what they're saying, that, if you have the vaccine, you still have to wear a mask because you could still spread the actual virus. But that's the whole idea of you getting the vaccine, is that you don't have the virus.
You don't have the virus. You kill the virus. Well, just on a slight change of tone, but more or less on the same points. A source of mine within the HSC has said that there will be 2 doses of vaccine given out every year for the foreseeable future. There'll be one in spring and there'll be one in autumn. Anybody who's going to get it is going to get 2 doses a year.
Yeah.
For the foreseeable future. Now, if that was a vaccine, you only need it once, twice maybe throughout your life. In other words, if you get a tetanus injection, you get it once, and you get a booster some point down the line, or a Hep B injection, you'll get a booster somewhere down the line. But just that's it. And sometimes you don't even need the booster. More often than not. But with this, they're looking to give it to everybody twice a year.
Yeah.
What does that say to you? What is that telling you?
Yeah. No, it's saying a lot. And one of the things they said in the UK, I don't know about over here, but one of the ministers was asked about, you know, the businesses demanding that staff have a vaccine before, you know, either, you know, jab, no job, you know. And the minister said that it's going to be down to the individual companies. They reckon it's going to be down to the individual companies if they want to apply that policy.
Two things, Al. The first thing, your life insurance may have validated. If you take Morris, my understanding is that your life insurance will be invalidated we'll call it the vaccine for now. A friend of mine who is in Romania has said that her life insurance was invalidated when she went to renew it. She was asked if she had taken the vaccine, and she said yes. She said yeah, and you know, that's the encouragement.
Yeah.
And the insurance company says, well, we're sorry, we can't cover you anymore because, you know, the vaccine is an experimental drug, call it what you want. We can't cover you. And no other insurance company will cover. Now, that's going to happen here. So if somebody dies of the side effects of the vaccine, are they going to be covered here on their insurance, on the life insurance? Chances are they probably won't, because they volunteered for something that is truly untested, I suppose. It might be approved by the FDA, but it's only approved as an experimental drug. It's not a proper vaccine in the proper sense. So therefore, any insurance you would have, life insurance, there's a really good chance you're not going to get, your family aren't going to get paid out if you've taken the vaccine. And this is going to be one of the issues that we're going to see crop up more and more, where somebody dies and the family goes to claim the insurance, and the insurance companies, will always do their best not to pay it if they can help it.
Yeah.
So are they going to pay out thousands upon thousands upon thousands of more people every year because of, you know, vaccine side effect deaths? You know, these are all the little things that are all going to crop up sooner rather than later. And I could be wrong here, but I think people are going to regret it in time to come.
Oh, well, the vaccine, they will, yeah.
Well, you know, look, it's an experimental drug, Al, really, at the end of the day. It's gene therapy, really, is what it is. It's affecting your DNA, the whole shebang. It's not a vaccine. Vaccine generally has dead elements of the virus that they're trying to immunize against. I don't believe that this current vaccine has anything like it. Well, because they're talking about mutations happening week in, week out, like there's new mutations. How can you fight a new mutation?
That's why the flu jab doesn't work.
Exactly why the flu jab doesn't work.
Because
can I just be really blunt here about something? My mum died in 2011. She had the flu jab about 3 weeks before she died. Now, she had cancer. The cancer wasn't advancing. It wasn't doing anything. It was just there. She's breast cancer. It didn't miss that. It didn't do anything until she had the jab. And she had the flu jab. It started to spread throughout her body. Up to then, she'd be perfectly fine. Now, I'm thinking it's the flu jab has done it. Doctors might differ with that and say, well, no, you know, it was just her time and the cancer moved on as it's supposed to move on or will move on. She refused chemotherapy, but she was on chemotherapy, you know, chemotherapy as in the fluid version. She was on the drug version, but she was perfectly fine 3 weeks before she got it. She was doing housework, doing all the stuff as if nothing was ever wrong with her. She was 87 years of age and she was still flying around. But in 3 weeks of having the flu jab, she was dead. All of a sudden, like, it just happened.
Yeah.
Really quickly. She went downhill superbly quickly. And that was it. And I've always said, that's what killed her. But I can't prove it, of course. You know? But look, this whole gene therapy thing, it's killing people right, left and centre, particularly old people, you know, and they're blaming, you know, they're saying that as an old person, well, when you get the jab, like they had, and you die, well, they had underlying conditions. You know, a lot of people don't have underlying conditions and they're dying from it. Younger people.
Yeah,
you know, there's lots of video of the first video of that nurse. I don't know whether she died or not, but she collapsed from the whole thing. There was a room where she died, but I've seen Facebook pages of people who actually have died, and young enough people too, in their 30s and 40s abroad, took the jab a couple of hours beforehand, and within the next day, like, there was an RIP up against them, you know.
Well, the it's like Russian roulette. I mean, you don't know whether that jab's going to affect you or not. I mean, it will do eventually, but whether it happens immediately. If something happens, like that lady that passed out, there was actually a website set up, I believe, asking where has this lady gone? Because all of a sudden she's just disappeared. Nobody can find her. And she was in front of the camera and she got the vaccine and she passed out. And obviously, you know, so there's something sinister going on. I better get to these questions, Liam. Bluebell wants to know a question. She said, that's the left now cancelling anyone that disagrees with them. I got blocked because I didn't agree with someone. Yeah, the left seem to be, they love free speech as long as it's their free speech, as long as you agree with them. But as soon as you disagree with them, then obviously they're on your back.
Yeah, look, the bottom line here is that we need to find a balance between left and right here. Without going into the big end of the politics, but you know, we need to find something because The problem is that everything, the way things are designed is that it's divisive, as we said earlier. So what we need to be able to do is find middle ground somewhere to take on what's causing the division. And that's really where we need to be. There shouldn't be a left and there shouldn't be a right. There should be just the middle. And the middle should be taken on those who are trying to create lefts and rights and create division amongst us all. We don't need it. We don't want it. It shouldn't be part of humanity. It shouldn't be part of who we are. We need balance. Everything we do should be in balance anyway. I'm a firm believer of that.
Yeah, totally. And, I've done a lot of traveling in my career to different countries. And the one thing I noticed is that everybody's the same, just getting on with life and getting on with each other. You know, and it's only, I just think it's just the politicians and the media causing all these issues, because I have met and have friends from different nationalities and religions, and I've never had an issue with these people. But if you listen to the media and the government, obviously there's always a problem on their side.
You see, these people have to justify big pay packets at the end of the day. The only way they can do it is to work for those who are going to pay the big pay packets. And when you work for someone who's giving you a big pay package, you're going to do whatever you're told. And the same applies to governments and the same applies to media. That's simply how it works. The ordinary person in the street on an average wage isn't going to be the one who's going to thank their employers profusely or give them praise all the time or even do what they're told to do. In fact, in a lot of cases, especially outside of the work situation. Whereas if you're a journalist, you're full time under the cosh of editors who are full time under the cosh of directors, who are full time under the cosh of accountants, who are full time under the cosh of those who are really paying the bill, which is generally the government. In terms, in a lot of the newspapers, you see the ads. It's the government are paying for it. They're paying big, big money, so they expect compliance from journalists.
Of course, yeah.
And that's how it works. Mm. And that's what's wrong in this country, is the fact that there's the compliance with whatever the government PR departments are saying is shocking. It's absolutely shocking. I see some stuff like, you can't print that. You couldn't do that. Like, it's disgraceful, some of the stuff that I come across. And as they say, the only reason that they do it is that they're looking to ensure their own pay packets. I mean, obviously they have families, mortgages, all this sort of stuff, same as most of us. But the problem is that what they're doing when they're doing it is very, very anti-people. And that's the problem. So, yeah, that's where it comes down to. That's where the fear-mongering comes from, is from those two sources.
Yeah.
Government and media.
Okay, another question for you from Liam. And Liam wants to know, the church has always kept us down, never telling us that God is within us all. No need for a middleman. Yeah, not so much a question, more of a statement. Yeah, I agree with you, Liam, there.
I agree with that. Yeah, that's okay.
Okay.
I wish you with that.
Boko Aman on PAO said, hi, I have problems sleeping. Any tips?
Take a drink. Take a bottle of whiskey or something. That'll help you sleep for sure.
Yeah. A lot of people, Boko Aman on PAO, a lot of people are going through, we mentioned earlier, ascension symptoms, and they could be sleeping patterns being affected, waking up during the night, being wide awake, and you're wondering why. Aches and pains coming and going. headaches.
I thought it was a generic question he was asking, not so much a spiritual question. All right, okay. Yeah, I get it now.
Well, it probably is a spiritual question as well, because a lot of people are complaining about the same thing.
So it's
affecting a lot of us, you know, the aches and pains and everything else. And one minute there's a pain there, and next minute it's gone or moves around your body and headaches and just a lot of things. And if you look up, the best thing to do is go on the internet and type in ascension symptoms, and you'll find a list of things that people are experiencing. And if you go through the list and you have four or five of them things, then obviously that you're picking it up. Keep a check on the human frequency as well, because I tend to pick up on that energy when that happens.
What's the website? What's the website for people to know that?
Well, you just need to Google it. Go and Google or DuckDuck and Go, or use Start Page or whatever search engine would be the best thing to
other than Google.
Other than Google, yeah. Well, Start Page, we had the lady, Catherine Albrecht, who was on the show, OIM, and she started Start Page. And although it uses the Google algorithm, it doesn't send any information to Google.
Back to Google. All right, okay.
Okay, so because Google does control a lot of the search engine. So even like, I think DuckDuckGo, people say, oh, well, I'll use DuckDuckGo instead. But I actually think DuckDuckGo, my understanding is they're still using the Google algorithm for doing the searching. If you can find a search engine that doesn't actually go near Google whatsoever, let me know and I'll let people know, because there used to be, I'm obviously an ex-IT guy, and years ago, the biggest search engine at the time was a search engine called AltaVista. And I don't know whether it's still around. Google seemed to have, you know, sewn up the market regarding search engines. Yahoo is not a search engine. Yahoo is a directory. So you can search their directory listing. So there's a difference between Yahoo and Google. And maybe that's something that we need to do. I mean, I've got some good ideas regarding projects that we can put in place to stop this, to, you know, to have a, like an Irish search engine completely away from Google and have all the information in there where people can find it. But again, it's resources. You need the people to be able to do it and put it together. Now, my background is business development, not just IT support, right, but business development and putting in systems, designing systems to do all this. And and sometimes being obviously hands-on as well, depending on what part. But trying to get people to get involved, like programmers, to say, come on, let's do an Irish search engine and an alternative search engine for Ireland where people can go to and find all the information they want.
Would you not find though that Google will immediately just wipe the floor with you?
Well, how will they? How will it be a separate website?
Well, I don't know. Well, they do it all the time. Like,
well, it's going to be a separate website. It's going to be a different, completely different system from theirs. It'll be separate server, separate website. We won't be going near Google. But here's the thing: it doesn't even have to be a search engine. It can be a directory like Yahoo. And everybody can come along and they can set up an account and put in their website address for information or whatever. And then people can search it and find it. I mean, there's ways and means around it, you know. So, but we need to get people involved. Another question for yourself from Moon Girl. She says, Liam's views on the collapse of the dollar.
My views on the collapse of the dollar? It's inevitable. It's probably the thing, you know. I mean, look, we're going to see the rise of cryptocurrency even more in the next year or two. There's lots of new cryptocurrency starting to hit the markets. If you look at the likes of Bitcoin, Elon Musk has purchased a whole pile of Bitcoin, and it's after raising the price dramatically, and it's made him an even more bigger trillionaire than he is, you know. But in terms of the American dollar, well, you see, the American dollar is useful for it's a petrol currency, so the encouragement to company or the countries to use it is, you know, for buying oil and this sort of thing. But all the other countries around the world now are starting to cop on and say, well, we don't want to use the American dollar. You know, you've got the Chinese are saying, well, we're not going to use it anymore. The Russians are saying we're not using it. The Iranians definitely won't use it. You've got other countries who are saying, no, it's not going to happen. It's going to devalue and devalue and devalue until the point that it comes to where it's going to have to be replaced with something else. Don't know what it'll be replaced with, but the American dollar, in an essential way, is going to be valueless in about 10 years' time. It probably won't exist. We will have we'll have cryptocurrencies, whether they're created by private companies or whether they're created by this, you know, the state or the government, would be a different matter. But that's how we'll do it. And, you know, in effect, the American dollar and every other currency, in essence, is really going to be taken off the face of the earth anyway, because everything is going to go digital. they will try this one world currency as well. And that's what I see actually happening. That'll take, I think, every currency off the face of the earth, including euros. Everybody be trading in whatever it might be, the euro, dollar, whatever we want to call it. You know, whatever this worldwide currency is going to be. And this is where they're going to go with it. So, in essence, it's going to be taken, the dollar's just going to be taken out anyway over the next couple of years, as will every other currency. And there will be no such thing as cash. Everything will be digitally done and done online or whatever it might be. Or you'll have a little chip in your hand that'll pay your bills for you and pay your petrol and whatever it might be. That's how I see it's going to happen.
Well, again, that's their plans. Let's make that statement.
Yeah, that is the plan. That is, they've said it quite openly.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you've got this guy, Klaus Schwab, who very clearly said this is the plan. This is what we're going to do. There will be a one world currency. There will be, you won't own any property. We'll own your property, but you will be happy, as he would say. Mm. And this is the aim. Like, this is all Agenda 21 and stuff really at the moment, and it's starting to wear its ugly head even more and more and more. And they're not hiding behind the veil anymore. The veil is very open now. They're not. They need to show people what they're going to do. They're telling us what they're going to do. Mm. They're not hiding it from us anymore. They can't hide it anymore. They just have to just be open about it. And those of us who see will see. Those of us who don't won't. And those of us who don't are the ones who are going to be in the bigger trouble. Or maybe the other way around, maybe those of us who do see will be the ones who will be in the bigger trouble. You know, in America, if you see, you'll probably end up in a FEMA camp. You know, that's the way it's going to go. This is they're showing their hand now, and they're not afraid to show their hand. So they're telling us exactly what they're going to do to us. And unless enough of us are awake to see what's going on, well then we're in big trouble.
Well, I have more of an optimistic view on things. I know that's their plan, right? I do agree with you that that's what they want to do, and that was their plan. But as I said, their plan and the head of the snake has been cut off. And yes, they have to follow that plan because they are followers, and the head let's just say the individual or individuals who are the head of the snake were the people who knew the complete plan. But because they're gone, the followers are trying to follow a plan which they don't understand because it's all compartmentalized. So they're just carrying on with what they think is right. And this is why a lot of the things they're doing is failing, because they're getting it wrong. They're doing it with the wrong intent also, because the energies are coming in, and because they're doing it with the wrong intent, they're being exposed and things are falling apart.
Hmm. Yeah, well, look, you know, the question will be, who was the head of the snake, and where are they gone? And who has cut them? Who has cut the head off them? You know, I mean, these are, you know, in a way you have to look at it this way. Well, you know, the head, there's still the body of the snake to keep going. Or you have Medusa, who's a many-headed snake. So if you cut one head off, there's still another 9 or 10 or 11 heads, whatever it might be, to take over from the missing head. And this is how I would see it, that the fact that the head isn't really gone at all. We've cut one head off, but there's many, many more on Medusa. And, you know, she's moving about, as we might call it. You know, look, the bottom line is here, very simply. They're out there now. They've shown their hand. They're showing their hand, should I say. And they're going to show it even more. And unless we are prepared as a people, individually and together, well, then we're going to be in trouble. Look, you can see it with the policies that the Irish government, for instance. I mean, look, let's put it this way. We are the European experiment. We've always been the European experiment. And now we're more the European experiment. So we're the head of the snake is actually looking at us with forked tongue at the moment, going, well, I'm going to take a chunk out of you if you step the wrong way. And this is what they're doing. Like, this is why the government is so compliant, because the snake is actually looking to take a bite out of them, even though they are part of the actual the snake's body. But the snake will always bite itself, no problem. It doesn't have a problem biting itself, you know.
Yeah.
And this is where the likes of Varadkar and Micheál Martin, who are all so compliant with with the directions that they're being given from the head of the snake, as we would call it. And that's why we are where we are.
Well, let me have another question for you here from Critic Alley, and she wants to know, question for Liam, does he feel there is an alien or off-planet dimension to this craziness? Has he heard about the vengeful djinn who negatively influenced this reality?
Yeah, I have some belief in it. I do have some belief in it. I don't believe all the energies that are happening around the, you know, presently are all human. There has to be some interference from external sources. I mean, like, there are humans who know what's going on, but they can't obviously talk about it or won't talk about it. But there is, I mean, there's definitely an interference from, well, we call them alien sources. You know, when we people talk about the Anunnaki, you know, and we hear that all the time about the Anunnaki. But if there's a belief in the Anunnaki, well, then there must be a belief in other forms of alien life. And the question is, why are they here? Why would they be interfering in this planet? You know, again, I think we'll come back to the spiritual warfare thing. It's happening on that level as well, because essentially the djinn, as we call it, is a form of spirit in its own right, albeit an alien spirit. But the thing is that the battle for us, as we call it, is happening definitely on an alien level, spiritual level, call it what you want. And to be honest, Al, I've said this for years, and I still believe it, that this planet essentially is a prison planet. We potentially come from other planets. Our souls were taken from other planets and put here. Mm. I'm not saying that every one of us were bad, but we may have been in previous incarnations, bad people. And as we evolve, we become good, if there's such a word to be used here. But that's the reason we don't get off this planet alive. It's simply because it is a prison planet. We were all here for a reason. Whether it was hundreds of thousands of years ago or just thousands of years ago, we were put here, given these spacesuits, as we call the bodies, and either told to evolve or destruct. And I think that's what's kind of going on at the moment, too.
Well, you know, we talked
the fight is for that.
Yeah. You know, we talked earlier about the divide of the frequencies, the whole Dolores Cannon 3D, 5D and all that kind of stuff. And again, what I've been told by guests that I've had on is that, yes, the timeline that you're talking about regarding Schwab and his plans for Europe and Bitcoin and vaccines and all that, that is going to be the split. So there will be a 3D timeline split where them people who are in the Matrix, wearing the masks, taking the vaccines, that will be that timeline, and they will go down that timeline, and that will happen. But for the 15% who are woken up, who are outside the Matrix, who don't want that, then we will go on a different timeline, which will be the Ascension timeline.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on that?
Well, maybe we're the ones, those of us who know, are the ones who evolve. Maybe we're the ones who are leaving the planet. Maybe everyone else is going to be left behind until their time comes for them to have the awareness that we have at the moment. You know, I mean, there's obviously billions of people who don't have the awareness. And this may not be their time to leave the planet, but it might be our time to leave the planet and go wherever we're supposed to go after that. Like,
so you're saying... So when you say leave, are you talking about, like, physically dying to leave?
Well, physically dying physically dying, more or less. Like, I think it's the other way. You know, I think it's that way around rather than the other way around. In other words, those who are unaware and will never become aware in this lifetime, like, you know, the thought would be initially that they're the ones who are going to leave, but maybe not. Maybe we're the ones who are going to be taken from this side and take it off to wherever we're going to go next to evolve. And for those people then who are left behind, well then, you know, their time will come in the next generation or the next incarnation or whatever it might be, and eventually they'll get to the point where they'll become aware, and then they'll go in the next tranche. And, you know, I'd say it'll happen in tranches. You know, there could be 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 million of us going on the first tranche, And then the next crowd become aware, and then they go, and so on and so forth, until the planet's just left with the way it was intended to be, which is without us to begin with. And that's what may happen. You know, I don't know. I'm surmising on a lot of this sort of stuff because none of us know. But that's my thoughts on what may happen.
One of the possibilities that was said to me is that we're going to have the people who are not awake are going to have walk-ins, but like good souls that are going to be coming in and taking over. Yeah. So their soul is going to go, and that walk-in is going to take over. And this is part of the global awareness and people waking up, because the walk-ins are coming in. Their job will be to come in. And then so people you know that were asleep, all of a sudden they wake up and go, hang on a minute, I can see it now. And then they're actually studying and talking to you about it and everything else. And that this is one of the things that I was told by someone who tunes into Universal Energy. And he said, this is what the plan is as well.
Yeah, I don't disbelieve that that's a scenario that can happen. What I'd be more likely to believe is it'll happen in generations rather than an instant thing, like where you get a whole lot of souls out there who are waiting to come in, you know, evolved souls who are waiting to come back into humans, into the human body and take over the old soul and chuck it out and send it off in its way or whatever it might be. I don't know if it works that way. But my thoughts would be that, you know, we have a lot of star children coming in and things like that, you know, a lot of children who you can see they're really different. Even my own kids, I know they're bloody well different from what I was like when I was growing up. And, you know, they're much more aware of things, and they study stuff and they research stuff, and, you know, and they see things that, you know, we would never have seen as kids and known as kids. You know, my youngest is 15, and she's, Jesus, her awareness is unbelievable of things. Very, very clued in, as are my other three. You know, and I mean, they're all very clued in kids. Like, I mean, their kids are nearly, they're all adults apart from the 15-year-old.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're very clued into what's going on in the world. And we talk openly, and we, you know, they question everything, which is the thing. And this is what I've seen about this generation, the newer generations that are coming up behind us, they question everything. They if they don't believe something, they'll question it. Or even if they believe it, they'll still question it. You know, and this is what we're seeing. We're seeing the children evolving before our eyes. Maybe they're the ones who are going to change things. Maybe this next generation that's coming up are the ones who are going to, you know, when I say next generation, I mean some 15 to sort of 25 age group. They question everything, and I mean they certainly question religion and faith. And I don't know any kids who go to mass anymore, for instance, even though I know a lot of youngsters, but they don't go to mass. Like, so they're questioning even religion at this point, whereas 25 years ago that would never have happened.
Yeah, totally.
This generation of youngsters, if you want to call them star children, are the ones who are very much awake. I don't think it's going to change too much with our generation, Al, but I think the generation that will change it is the next one that's coming up.
Well, I hope so.
So much more demanding about things.
Because my son now, he's been aware, because obviously he's been hearing me talk about stuff, and he's well aware of what's going on. And what he gets upset with is that some of his friends, unfortunately, can't wait to have the vaccine, and that's a pity that that's the case. So yeah, there is the younger generation coming up, and they're aware and they're asking questions, but there's still, because of you know, we talk about why don't people wake up, and the first thing people say is, oh, they're intelligent people, and it's nothing got to do with intelligence. It's got to do with perception, and perception is what our belief system that we're given by our friends and family and teachers and everything else. So his friends, obviously, and I'm not being bad, but maybe their friends' parents, their perception is that the vaccine is good and you should be wearing the masks, and that's how they perceive it. And they've passed it on to their kids, and the kids are now saying that, oh, I want to queue up, I can't wait to have the vaccine. And of course, my son is saying, I want to wake them up, but there's no point. And I said that to him. I said, look, don't, because they're not ready. They're not ready for that information.
No. Yeah. You see, the problem here with this is very simple, that there's nature and nurture. In nature, if they were left alone, they'd be like you and me. Mm. Nurture is the problem, that they're learning from their parents. In other words, the parents might have very old-fashioned views, very religious views, call it whatever you want. And the children pick up on that and they follow suit. That's where they learn it. So if the parents are saying, well, you know, we have to have vaccines. We have to be safe for nanny or granny or whatever it might be, or, you know, or for traveling. The children automatically are going to think the same way, unless they are a good product of nature rather than nurture. In other words, some kids will say, well, it's bullshit. I'm not going to have any vaccine and I'm not going to do what whatever I'm told to do in that regard. Whereas, you know, you've got a lot of kids, obviously, who listen to their parents, and the parents say, well, we're going to be vaccinated. And the kids are going, well, we're going to be vaccinated too.
Yeah.
And yeah, it is upsetting for you. And I understand that. I can see why he would be upset about that. But the problem is that it's going to take a death or two in a community from side effects of the therapy to make people realize, well, there's something not quite right here. Now, not everybody's going to be affected by the vaccine, if we call it that again.
Yeah.
Some people will have good immune systems that will override it and not let it do anything. But many of the people who weaken the immune systems, like, you know, you've a lot of the old people. There's a lot of old people dying as we speak, right now as we speak, around the world from the effects of having the vaccine.
Mm.
You know, but if you've got a strong immune system with no underlying conditions, it's not really going to affect you too much in that respect, in terms of killing you. But we don't know what it's going to do for the future. We don't know what effect it has on the body. That's completely untested. Yeah.
I just think the cheek of the government to decide for me what I should be putting into my body. I mean, how dare they do that? But look, I want to give 5 minutes to you, Liam, to talk about the song before I let you go and I play the song. So we have a composition. So we have a composition that you've done. So I just want to give you 5 minutes for that. Tell us, obviously, and give out your details as well for people if they want to contact you. But so tell us quickly about your composition first.
Right. Well, first and foremost, I'm a soundtrack composer as well. I'm a general composer of classical music and any kinds of music, really, at the end of the day. I suppose I've always had a creative streak in terms of music, particularly. I've always loved music. My family are very musical, the whole shebang. Up to about a year ago, I found it difficult to kind of, I suppose, put into effect the creativity in terms of what I wanted to express in terms of the music and the type of music and even how it was produced or made or anything like that. But I bought a great piece of software called Reason, and it's an absolute brilliant piece of software for composing music on. It's got beautiful string sounds and all that stuff. Like, so with that, and particularly in the last week, I just had this massive urge to write some stuff, write some music, soundtrack music mainly, and I put it up on Facebook. So if anybody wants to listen to it, you can look me up on Facebook, Liam Deegan, and you see my little green scope site. You know it's me. There's three numbers up there. But the number I think you're going to play tonight is a song that I wrote for Valentine's Day, and it's not soppy, by the way. It's quite nice. It's called Unconditional Love, which is something that really should be part of every one of us. It's just for anybody who believes in love, really, and how it should be rather than how we see it more often than not, or how it's portrayed, you know. I've written a couple of other songs. Again, you see them on Facebook. There's one called Ireland, Our Home. In Irish, it's Era, Erwalia, is the Irish version of it. And I robbed a couple of videos from the tourist board's website, legally, of course. and I added it to music, to my music, and anything in fact on Facebook. I've added some beautiful visuals to it as well. So, yeah, but this song is called "Unconditional Love."
Okay.
And, it's nice. Let's put it that way.
Well, I'm going to play it now and let listeners have a listen to it. Do you want to quickly give out any contact details before I let you go?
Well, the best place to get me is on Facebook. That's if you want to contact me, you get me on Facebook.
Okay.
Or just look me up, Liam Deegan, and you won't miss it. So, yeah, that's
okay.
The best way to get me.
Brilliant. All right, Liam, stay with me there for a minute, and we'll go over to Liam's piece of music called "Unconditional Love," and we'll be back after this.
Listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio.
Okay, there's Liam's composition called "Unconditional Love." If you want to get a copy of that song, I'm sure Liam won't mind. I can email it out. I'm sure he'll be okay with that. So if you want a copy of that, I can send you the MP3. Just send an email to contactus@circleofwhitelight.com and I can do that. I'm sure Liam won't mind. And that was Liam Deegan. Again, one of the things, I'm sorry, last week I did announce a lady called Nikki Sutton coming on the show, but unfortunately I got dates wrong. Nikki is going to be coming on the show, but just not yet. She's going to be coming on in March. And the schedule is getting really booked up at the moment. And I think I have the middle of March booked up. More and more dates are coming in and more people coming in for shows, which is great. So I'm getting booked up. So I might have to double up on some of the shows to get more people on. We'll have to see how it goes. We'll see what happens anyway. What I was going to say to you, I'll talk about the T-shirts in a minute. But during the week, we had the PIF meeting on the Wednesday. And then we also have this other meeting on Friday, which myself and Trevor from the Open Minds Conference have started to. If people are feeling isolated and lonely and they want to talk to other people and share their concerns and everything else, that's what we're doing on Friday evenings. And people can pop in and say hello and then go. And so we've set up a Facebook group, I've set up a Facebook group to contact the people who are interested, you know, and let them know what, you know, links and all that for Zoom. So if you are interested on joining that group on Friday, by all means, send me an email to contact us at circleofwhitelight.com. If you're on Facebook, all the better. Then obviously we can add you into the group. The proviso is that we're not going to get into politics or religion, and you need to be on webcam because we know there's trolls and shills out there. So by putting people on webcam, it kind of stops that a lot of the time. But if you're interested, obviously let me know and we can take it from there. Okay, so the guest next week is a lady called Danielle Laverity. Danielle's been on before. She's been on the show a few times on OIM and Circle of White Light. And Danielle has a unique viewpoint a lot of the time on the way she sees things, which is really great. We have a great chat and we can throw things around and, you know, get a feeling. She's based in the UK, so we'll get a feeling on how Danielle feels about what's happening over there and her thoughts on the bigger picture. So that's going to be quite interesting. During the week, we had the PIF meeting, the Pay It Forward meeting, and one of the things we were talking about was energies. And about this, going into the shops without the mask, and some people are concerned about, if I go in without a mask, you know, about being attacked and all that. And one of the things we said was, you're going to have to pick your fight. The best thing to do is just pick your fight. Decide what shops you're going to do it in and what other shops you don't want to do it in. Now, personally, I've never worn a mask since this started. Now, I will probably put on a face covering depending on where I'm going. But I wear it like a welder's mask. I mean, literally, it's just pointless. But what I do, just kind of to make a point, is I'll walk into the shop and then I'll put it on. And when I'm coming out from the till, I will take it off and then walk out of the shop without the face covering on. Just to make a point, you know, and because you don't want to be feeling stressed or have any anxiety, because that's all low frequency, low energy. You don't want to be feeling that. So if you're comfortable in some shops going in without a mask, then fine. If there's other shops that you think, look, I don't need the hassle, I just need to go in, get what I want and leave, just put your face covering on or your scarf. If you have a scarf, just pull it up, go in and then pull it down under your nose. You know, I mean, people are getting more tolerant, I think, of certain people if you're not wearing a mask properly or, you know, whatever. Touch wood, and I'm touching wood here. I've only once been approached by a lady of not wearing a mask in the shop. And then again, what I did was she said, oh, yeah, piece of paper and all that kind of stuff. And I took out, I had a copy of the legislation with me, and I took it out of my pocket and I showed it to her and I said, here's the legislation. Do you want to check it? And then she shut up straight away because she knew that she wouldn't win because I actually had the law in my hand. Now, I know the laws change regarding the masks now, where you used to not need a mask in a credit union and a bank and a post office. Now you do. But the law still, it says that you can be exempt and you can say you're exempt. So that still applies. Although I know they were trying to speak to, I think, Simon Coveney or Simon Harris or something to change it. But it's still the same at this moment in time. And of course, they want to do nine more weeks of lockdown. I mean, the mental health issues this is causing is unbelievable. But as I said to Liam, I'm going to be interested to see what happens on the 4th of March and the 5th of March. See if these predictions that we've heard about are going to come true. And see if Trump is going to step back up and become the president of the Republic. Because he's a businessman and it's a 5D chess game. And what he's doing is, again, the art of war, Sun Tzu, is to, when you're weak, show people, make it look like you're strong. And when you're strong, you can show that you're weak. And it's the game that he's playing. And because people are now thinking, oh, if he's left, he's weak, we don't have to worry about Trump anymore. All these parasites are coming out of the woodwork, showing themselves. you know, saying, yeah, we supported Biden and we're part of deep state and everything else. And I'm sure Trump is there with pen and paper writing, okay, Joe blogs, making the list because they think that Trump is finished. So maybe that's part of the 5D chess game. I hope it is, because if it does, it would be fantastic. There's so much to play for at the moment, so much going on. But the devastation that this is causing each country, Ireland in particular, because of this 9 weeks, I'm sure the amount of people that have died through mental health issues and suicides have superseded the numbers died of COVID or allegedly COVID. I'd like to see them figures, to be honest with you. I'm pretty sure the issues this is going to cause a lot of people is unreal. But you know, the one thing you do, switch off that box in the corner, or switch off the media at least. I don't listen to the BBC, I don't listen to Sky, I don't listen to RTE. Don't even bother. I don't waste my time. I get on with my day and do what I have to do. And I don't have that energy. I don't have that stuff in my head because I know it's all rubbish. So why even bother listening to it? Now, I know people say, oh, you have to know what they're saying and what lies. I have an idea what's going on. I do keep in contact of some print media or stuff going on Facebook that people are saying. You know, but I don't need to know the whole lot because I know it's all a bunch of lies anyway. I mean, they're funded by the government. So for your own sanity, you know, get a few comedy programs like Mock the Week. It's a good laugh. And I believe Whose Line Is It Anyway is going to be coming back on Dave. There's a few comedies out there. Put the comedies on, have a laugh and have a bit of fun. And get rid of, keep your frequency up high. Don't suffer from anxiety. Okay, for myself, Alan James, take it easy. Have a good week. I'll be talking to you in 2 days' time because time is going so fast. I'll probably be speaking to you in 2 days' time, the way things are going. But that's what it feels like anyway. So if you want a T-shirt, as I said at the beginning of the show, email me, let me know. I'll sort you out the details. Thanks to everybody who tunes in. I really appreciate, and I'm humbled by the amount of people that tune in and come on the chat room and interact with each other and ask questions and everything else. It really does make worthwhile doing the show. So a big thank you to everybody who does that. Have a good week. Have a safe week. And take it easy. And we'll see you next week. Take care and bye-bye.
You have been listening to Circle of White Light Radio on CircleofWhiteLight.com. Focusing on solutions and thinking different.